This is Revelation part 3, and we're starting lesson 2 today. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that out of all of these symbols, out of all of these connections that you were making for us here in this overview section of part 3, Lord, that you are the one in control, that you are the God of the universe. You are high above all of your creation, and you know exactly where each one of us is. We know your timeline is right on track because we know you. And Father, I just pray that you will take hold of this lesson today. Help us to sort through all the things that we're going to look at. Help us to understand the order that you have them, the purpose that you have put them there, and to see your eternal plan begin to take shape. Father, we thank you, we love you, and give this time to you in Jesus' name. Wow. As we start this lesson in chapter 11, now we did some in chapter 11 last time. Chapter 11 sounds like we've gone into bankruptcy, doesn't it? Well, we didn't. But there are those two ones side by side, and we know that chapter 11 is about the two witnesses. That helps because we can see in the book where this is. As we go through these things, you had charts. And I would suggest you get your charts out. And I would suggest that you get your observation worksheets out. And just have them in some sort of order in front of you, because we're going to switch back and forth between them. We have a chart that was back in the appendix, starting on 187. The progression of events in Revelation 11 to 14, taking into consideration 11, 12, and 12 is divided into two parts, 13 and 14, and those were the chapters that we were to go over this week. So as we open chapter 11, we're going to go through the first part and discuss it. And up here on the board, I have put a timeline, because you know that that timeline is very important in Revelation. And why is that? What have we marked time after time after time? Time. Expression of time. And observation worksheets, I've marked all the time things in bright green. Anytime there's an expression of time, I know exactly where they are when I look through them. So it starts out with then, and so when a chapter starts out with then, what is the then there for? It follows something, doesn't it? So it follows chapter 10. All right, so then there was given to me, John, a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations. Now, who are the nations?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. And they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. There's 42 months. Okay? The holy city is where? Jerusalem. All right. Period. I want everybody's eyes up here. We don't know whether those two verses occur in this time frame with the two witnesses, or if they occur later. So let's put those two verses up here someplace or down here someplace, and don't put them on the chart yet. Okay? We have some discussion to do before we do that, because there is a question of where that falls. So we're going to reason our way through the other based on what God has said in His Word. And then toward the end, we're going to see where those two verses go. Okay? That's the way you have to do this, because you don't want to take anything out of context. Because as soon as we get into these verses in the rest of this study, from here all the way through spring, you're going to see scriptures in the Old and the New Testament that, quite frankly, have been text scriptures that have been taken out of context. The truth of them is true, but prove it by another verse, not this one, because this is in a particular context. And I'm not going to define that. You'll see it. All right? Then we begin in verse 3. All right? And I will grant authority. I will. Who is this speaking? Who has the authority to grant authority? Jesus. All right? To my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. So we have seen 42 months down here. Gentiles, and the two witnesses for 1,260 days. Okay. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And we said before, when we have gone through this book, how many times now? This is about the fifth. These are Jewish symbols, and they're straight out of the book of Zechariah that we studied 2 or 3 years ago. And this has to do with the Jewish nation. The lampstands, two lampstands, were reminiscent of the menorah in the tabernacle. So you see, these references are Jewish. If anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemy. And if anybody wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. They have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying, 1,260 days, and they will have power over the waters to turn them to blood. Does that sound familiar? And to strike the earth with every plague. Does that sound familiar? As often as they desire. And then when they finish their testimony, the beast, have we ever heard of the beast before? Today? Before chapter 11? No. I'll give you the answer. No. Do you know anything about him at this point? No. But you have done the homework. Do you know the beast? Yes, you do. That comes up out of the abyss. Will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which is mystically called Sodom and Egypt. Do you know the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do we need to even discuss it? No, we don't. Egypt was where the children of Israel lived for 400 years. And when God brought them out in the Exodus, it symbolized God's redemption from the bondage of sin, the bondage of slavery to sin. That was the picture of the whole thing. When he brought them out and provided them salvation. Where also their Lord was crucified. So this takes away the actual locations of Sodom and Gomorrah or Egypt on the map. Those were the symbols of what Jerusalem now is like. And it was not pretty, was it? No, it was a sinful, horrible place. We haven't discussed why it was that way, but you will see that as we go through the study. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their... Oh, he kills... He makes war with the two witnesses, and he overcomes them, and he kills them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Obviously, this is Jerusalem. Those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in the tomb. That is total desecration of a Jew. It is sticking a finger in the eye of God Almighty. They took Jesus down from the cross and buried him immediately before sundown. That's how bad things are in the city of Jerusalem at this point. These two witnesses were given the authority to witness 1,260 days. By who? Jesus. Okay? Here they are killed. What does this say about the 1,260 days? It's over. Because nobody could touch them until then. All right? Their bodies lie dead in the street for 3.5 days. There's all sorts of symbolism there. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Jesus was in the grave. Okay? This is Jewish. This is Jewish. And those who dwell on the earth, and we know who those are unbelievers whose citizenship is not in heaven. They will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. They didn't torment believers. Now, those who dwell on the earth can be either Jewish or Gentile. They're simply people who don't belong to the Lord. They are not saved. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and a great fear fell upon those who were watching them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven, and their enemies watched them. Where have you seen "come up here" before? Say it loud. In chapter 4. And I saw a door open in heaven, and the voice said, "Come up here." All right. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. And then what does it say? The second woe is past, and the third woe is coming quickly. We have seen the seven seals. The Lamb takes the scroll out of hand of him who sits on the throne, and it is given to him because he's earned the right, because he has shed his blood on the cross and purchased men. And he has earned the right because he completed the mission that God the Father had sent him to do. And he said, "I always do the will of my Father." Remember that. It comes from the mind and heart of the Father through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. You saw this in Genesis chapter 1 when you read first chapter of John and see that it was Jesus who spoke the world into existence from the mind and heart of God, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters and made it happen. The Trinity working in concert, always, but having separate offices. Remember that. All right. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. So after Jesus opens the seven seals, first he opens the sixth. And then remember what happens. The angel says, "Wait until the 144,000 are sealed unto God." And they're holding the winds back, so nothing has happened on the earth, and the seventh seal has not been opened. We have seen the first seal, second seal, third seal, and fourth seal come to be open, and the one of the four living creatures says, "Come," and then Jesus opens the seal. The next one says, "Come," and Jesus opens the seal. Where are the instructions coming from? Not from the living creatures, from the throne. He's doing the will of the Father. That's important. And then all of a sudden here, you see, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not here, but right back before him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Because of the remaining trumpets. So trumpet number 5, number 6, and number 7 are the three woes. And they happen in order, in sequence, one after the other. And the seventh trumpet has not blown yet. And what is in the seventh trumpet? The seven bowls of wrath. Okay? So here it says, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. And then there aren't, that is a paragraph unto itself. Verse 14. And all of a sudden, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, this is momentous. This is a pivot point in our timeline. 42 months have taken place for the two witnesses to witness. And that 1,260 days is over because they died. God let them die. And he used an agent to do it. And he's called the beast. Okay? So now we can put on our chart up here the two witnesses. Right here. Because we know that they had 42 months. And something happens right here. Now let's see what happens in verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, and this makes a statement, the kingdom of this world. Who is the over the kingdom of this world now? Satan. Where did he win that right? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and basically turned it over to him. So now you see what part of the battle is about here. It's about this world and all that's in it. Okay? Has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. This doesn't mean that the battle is over, but this does mean that Jesus now is taking the reins. And he is going to make this happen personally from his hand. All right. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God and fell on their faces and worshiped God. Has anything happened that would change the worship in heaven? No. We have seen worship and praise and glory and honor and beautiful music and beautifully blended voices. Oh, I can't wait to hear that. In heaven, nothing has changed there. But all of a sudden, they know that something is beginning to happen on earth. We give you thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, from the heart of God, the Father, who are, who is, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. This is the Trinity working in concert here to make this happen. And the nations were enraged. Those are the, sometimes it's nations is referred to as the Gentiles, and sometimes it's just all the nations. Nations were enraged, and your wrath came. Would you say that the first 42 months of the blasts of the trumpets were not the wrath of God? Could you ever say that? No. It's all the wrath of God, because it is all bound up in that scroll. The wrath in the bowls was in the seventh trumpet, and that was all compressed back into the seventh seal, and then all of the seals in that scroll, it's all there. And it's all a specific period of time. This is simply a greater and more direct portion of this time period. Now, have you heard me call it any length yet? No. Okay. Because we haven't seen it in Scripture. All the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets. Okay. You see a lot of things here that, because we've studied this before, we see them happening further on in Revelation. So what have we come to here in the end of chapter 11? What we see is we're looking now all the way to the end. We're standing here before that, right after that seventh trumpet blows. And because we have done our observation worksheets in the past, those you new people, gee, we missed you. But we've already seen this. These time for the servants to be judged and this, that, and the other. This is an overview, again, of the end, which shows you that no matter what happens at any time period during all of this, God is right on time. He's in charge. And this is exactly what's going to happen. These verses are here for you and me to let us know how perfect God is and to always trust Him in everything we do, no matter what we're going through. That is applicable to our lives because He's the same God. And He's just as in particular about Judy Wolf as He is about what's going on here. Because He's God and He does not change. All right? Time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name. Those are the believers, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Has that happened yet? No, it hasn't. The temple of God, which is in heaven, was open, and the ark of His covenant appeared in His temple, and there were flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and earthquake, and great, that's the power of God, great hailstorm. The Ark of the Covenant. God never operates outside of His covenants, His promises to mankind. And He always fulfills every promise He ever made to the absolute letter. And that is why it is so important to remember the warning in Genesis chapter 22. Do not add to or take away from the Word of God. No matter what the sentiment is that you're living in at those times, how they feel about Israel, how they feel about the church, how important they feel because we have been redeemed. Look at what God has said. Pay attention to the words. And know that His word is yea and amen. And this is why I have not answered questions. I want you to see it for yourself. Because we want to know what God has said. Because this is the most controversial book in the Bible. Because it's been open to one interpretation right after another for 2,000 years. And most of them have been affected and influenced by the social condition of the time. But this is an eternal book. You can't let it do that. You have to see what God has said. And please, that's what we're doing. The third woe is blown there in the seventh trumpet, and Satan's presence has come to earth. And I'm just going to tell you right now, because I want you to see it as we go through it. This beast, who has not been identified yet, kills the two witnesses. We have seen this character come out on a white horse in the first seal, and he has the bow but no arrow. And things are sort of peaceful for a while. And then all of a sudden, something happens, because we're going to turn the page now, and what chapter are we going to come to? 12 and then 13, right? And we're going to find out about the beast. So something big has happened at this point on the timeline, and there it is right there. Seventh trumpet blows. Right here. Okay? Now, when we read chapter 13, maybe you'll see what's going on a little bit different than you did at homework time. So this is kind of a parenthesis right here, looking down through the last part of this time period. And we have seen two time frames mentioned here, 42 months and 1,260 days. Is there any difference between the two? No. And what time reckoning is this? Lunar calendar. And who worked off of a lunar calendar? The Jews. Now that's a clue. Put that in your box. What is this time period all about? Who's the real, almost main character in all of this? What is the purpose that God is accomplishing with this seven-year period? There's more than one purpose. But one of the big purposes is, put it in your head, okay? All right, let's look at chapter 12 now. Here we are confronted with two signs. What is a sign?
Something that represents something else.
Something that represents something else or points to it, right?
Yeah.
A sign. It says Coffee Connection. Well, this room used to be part of that, but it's down the hall now. But you know that there's a Coffee Connection in this church somewhere, and I don't think it's in operation right now, so don't go down there. All right. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head were a crown of 12 stars. This is a picture that goes back to Genesis 37, verses 9 through 11. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Who does she sound like right here? Mary. But let's see what happens to this woman and see if those things happen to Mary. You have to ask yourself that. You can't stop with your interpretation of this right here in the middle of the whole thing, because you don't know enough to make a decision yet. Then another sign, okay? There are two main subjects right here. One is this woman, and the other here that appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, it's important to write down this description of this dragon. He has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems. These are crowns of authority, as in kingship, heads of state. We've seen another crown on the head of the first rider on the white horse in the first seal. His was a Stephanos, a victor's crown, not a head of state at that point. Verse 4, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Stars of heaven. Stars of heaven are not necessarily the twinkle, twinkle little stars that we see that come out at night. Stars are, angels are referred to stars sometimes. Stars can be people in the scripture. And here, this dragon's tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. Now, from your study of scripture, do we know what happened there? Can I tell you? Satan, known as Lucifer, was created the most powerful and most beautiful angel God ever created. He was in charge of the throne room in heaven. And suddenly, he decided he was going to be like God. He thought he was so pretty and so powerful. And he started his little swagger and decided he was going to be God. And he rebelled and sin entered. And God immediately threw him out of heaven. And a third of the angels were thrown out with him because they joined in his rebellion. And sin cannot be in heaven. And they were thrown out of heaven. And all of that beauty and all of that power is still there in every one of those beings, but it is now all evil. And you've already run in to some of these demons and see what they do. You saw it back in 9. You saw it, some of it in 8. Okay? This occurred before the Garden of Eden. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that she gave birth he might defile her child. That could have happened at the time when the Magi came into Jerusalem looking for the star and for the king who was to be born. We're going to study that. We're going to study all these things in detail. When Herod gave out the decree to kill all the baby boys, who was behind that? Satan was. You see, you've got to see this whole battle is between Satan and God. Hey, they use us. Satan uses us. God uses us for good. All right? And she gave birth to a son, a male child. All right, doesn't she sound like Mary? But read the next part. Who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron? Has he done that yet? What? No. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Has that happened?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Have you not read Acts chapter 1?
Yes.
There he goes, right there. And we're going to study what that meant. And why he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. That part has taken place. He was taken into heaven. He was raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven because he had completed the task that the Father had sent him to do, and that was the act of redemption, because only God could have done that. All God and all man. And now he's in heaven. And what happens a few days later? They're meeting in the upper room, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and indwells the apostles and the 120 that were there in the room, and what was born?
Church.
All right. Who? Mary birthed Jesus. Here we're talking about the church, because I'm throwing this in now because I want to. The church was born in Acts chapter 2. Where did the church come from? Did the church come from Israel? Oh no, the church did not come from Israel. If you look at Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus stops on the way to the Mount of Transfiguration. He looks at his apostles and disciples and all of a sudden, he says, who do those people say that I am? And Peter runs to the front of the line and says, me, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Upon this, you are Peter. Upon this rock, I will establish, what does he say? My church. The church comes from Jesus. And he was born on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. This is a separate group of people. Has nothing to do with the Old Testament saints. Please listen to me carefully. The Old Testament saints, were they saved by any other than we? No. So there is no distinction as far as God's love, as his redemptive power to either group. You are either saved or you are lost, depending on your faith in the blood of Jesus shed on that cross, either looking forward to it or back to it. I've got some extremely close friends in this room. I love every one of you to death. And nothing, when I'm down sick and I thought about all your smiling faces, and I just loved every one of you, and I could sit there and I could tell you which table every one of you sat at. I love you. I love you. And there's no difference in that love. But I happen to be closer to some people. And I love this one for who she is. And I love that one for who she is. And it's just, my heart just exciting. But they're different. But there's no difference in the love. There's no difference in, if you need something and you call me, you know I'm dead on my bed if I'm not up there doing it for you. That's how Jesus is. So get over it if you try to put the church in God's economy in with the Old Testament saints. Or I'll have to open my big fat mouth right now, the tribulation saints or the millennial kingdom saints, because they're all different. But they're all one in the Lord. And they were all saved by the blood of Jesus. So we got that? Nod your head, please. Yes. Thank you for looking at me. Now you can go back to your paper. I'm trying to put this together for you so that you're going to begin to understand what this book is all about. And why you see some things and you don't see others. Why you see some groups of people and you don't see others. Now that's a hint. Because there's a different emphasis. No difference in the love. All right. Where were we? Okay, we have verse 6. Here we go. Then, expression of time, after the child was caught up, the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God, so there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. There's another time period right here, 1,260 days. And you know that a change has occurred in the timeline. All right? And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the who does Michael guard over? Israel. Woo-hoo-hoo. There's another clue. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. And they, the dragon and his angels, were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. Is this the same throwing down that we read about up in verse 4? No, because the same thing did not happen. Here, the great dragon was thrown down. Do we know who the dragon is now? The serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. I'm going to stop and tell you about the heavens. We're here on the earth. And right above us, we talk about the heavens that declare the glory of God. And that's when the stars and the moon, the sun and the moon over here are. And there's this heaven that we just talked about where the war is going on, which is above that. And that's where the angels are at war right now. And here in the third heaven, remember Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven? That's where God reigns. And it's holy and pure. And this battle here with Michael and the angels is what's going on right now. And it's over us. And all those lost people that are still outside. Because Satan doesn't want to lose any because they're already in his kingdom and he doesn't want them hearing the gospel. That's what the battle's all about. And all of a sudden, now here, what we've just read about, this battle occurs and the angels, the demons, and Satan are all thrown down to the earth. Can you imagine what that's going to be? Do you remember what happened when the locusts came up out of the pit? Do you remember what happened when the angels that were bound in the Euphrates came out? That's not going to be a fun time here, is it? Because they're all in captivity right now. There's coming a time when God is going to let them out and turn up the heat big time here. And that's what this is about. It's a frightening time.
So the accuser of the brethren is still there in heaven now, accusing the brethren.
He has access into heaven,
but
nobody else. He can run back and forth. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's going to be referred to that in a little bit.
So he goes back and forth. But this is a scene later when he's
yes.
Down. And that's okay. Now,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So he has access in heaven. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he runs up to the throne and he said, did you see what Sue Lincoln did? No. And Jesus said, she's mine. And he has to leave. You're protected. And I think you're sweet. That's what's going on. And now all this stuff is coming down to earth. And then I heard a voice in heaven saying, now, okay, now, salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, that's what we just talked about, has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Has anything changed? The salvation that Jesus performs in the life and the heart of a human being who comes to him by faith and his shed blood for their sins, it's the same. Even though they're faced with death, and if they die because of their faith, what are they? Martyrs. And where have you seen all of the martyrs of all ages who have died, and in particular those during this time period? Where are they? They're in heaven, and they're under that altar. And in seal number 5, they were saying, how long, O Lord, before you judge those that have killed us? At that altar, that little golden altar in heaven, that the copy was made for the tabernacle. All right. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and ye who dwell in them. Where do you dwell, Gussie?
On earth.
You live on earth, but where's your citizenship?
In heaven.
In heaven. You are a heaven dweller, sweetheart. Get that straight.
Got it.
You don't want to be in that other crowd, because we're going to see what happens to that bunch, and you don't want it. No, sir. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth. Do you see One is woe and one is rejoice. Why in the world would those in the heavens rejoice knowing all the, pardon the expression, hell that's going to break loose on this earth? Why would they rejoice? Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming to put an end to all the sin and recreate everything into beautiful millennial reign for 1,000 years and make it all right. Okay? Woe to the earth and sea because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. So you see, he has been thrown out of this heaven right here and down here. And that is what is going to cause the second part of this time period and why it's called the Great Tribulation. All right. And he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Did that ever happen to Mary? So we know for sure that this is Israel. The woman is Israel. All right. I don't have time to say what I was going to say. But the two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman. This means protection. So that she could fly into the wilderness to her place. So she has a place. Now listen to this carefully and remember this. Where she was nourished for how long? Time, times, and half a time. Times. Times. Half a time. So we've seen 42 months, 1,260 days, 1 year, 2 years, and 2 years, that's 3 years and a half. So that's a time period of 3.5 years. Okay? She was nourished for times and a half of time from the present of the serpent. Now, do we know who the serpent is? He's the dragon, right? He's the devil. We've already been told that. And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the people here on the earth, some of them are helping who? Israel during this time period right here. Remember that, because we're going to Matthew pretty soon. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. Who are the rest of her children? Who is she? Israel. Who over here are you and me?
Believers.
Yeah, but we're Gentiles.
Yeah.
We're not Israel. We're adopted into Israel because of our faith in their Messiah, who is now our Messiah. But we're the wild olive branch. We're going to study that. These are Jewish people who are still left on the face of this earth. And they went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. And they're believers. Okay? Write it down. We'll get it in a little over 30 minutes. We're going to have a Q&A at the end. Okay. So, her children, they are Jews. And these are saved Jews. And you can relate this to what we are going to in just a minute, and that is chapter 14, verse 12. Write chapter 14, verse 12 next to verse 17 of chapter 12. Because we had a chart and we were supposed to compare all those things. Okay, now we get to 13, and we get to the beasties. Now we know who the dragon is, don't we? Okay. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Well, he wasn't having a beach vacation down in Florida. Wasn't doing that. He was standing on the sand of the seashore. That is the earth, the sand. You can't count the grains of sand. There's all the people there. And it's his territory still. Okay? He's still the prince of the power of the air. He's still the God of this world. He hadn't been thrown out yet. He's been thrown out of heaven, but he hadn't been defeated on the earth. He has, but it hadn't come true yet. Okay? And then I saw a beast. All right, here's beast number one. And we're going to make a list. I'm just going to read through it. You can make your list. You can look down your chart if you want to. He comes up out of the sea. If you look at the inauguration in Washington and you see the new president standing there up on the Capitol steps and you see him come up and do this, and then it shows all these people out on the mall. What do you call it? A sea of people. Do you see that? A sea of people. Well, that's what this is. He comes up out of the sea. He's a people, this beast. And he comes up out of humans. All right? So he's an ordinary man that becomes something more than just an ordinary man. He was like a leopard, and his feet were those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So here's this man, and he comes out, and all of a sudden, he's basically indwelt by the dragon. And who's the dragon?
Satan.
And so he's given him his power. The most powerful angel. Demon now. He gives him his throne. Puts him in charge of his kingdom, which is the earth. And he gives him his authority. That's power. Okay. We will not know who the leopard, bear, and lion are until we get to Daniel. Hanging there in there. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. That's the dragon, beast number one, who now has the power of the dragon. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Okay? They worship the dragon. Because who has given this beast his power? And who basically is, worship me, that's all Satan has ever wanted. And impersonated in this man. Okay, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war against him? There was given to him, the beast, a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies and authority to act for how long? Oh, ho, ho. So when is this guy, the beast, going to be on our timeline right here? Second half. Do you see that? It has divided itself. Okay. So, what has happened right here? Satan has been thrown down to earth and has given this guy his power now. He's thrown out of that heaven right there. Isn't that exciting? All right. And he, the beast, opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. This is important. This is very important. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is those who dwell in heaven. Gussie, you dwell in heaven, okay? You're the good guy. All right. And it was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe, people, tongue, nation was given to him by who? Satan. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Do you see the contrast between those who dwell in heaven when they worship God and here are these who worship the devil on earth? Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've seen that, haven't we? And those are the saved ones. Everyone who has saved, his name is written in that book. And no one can snatch them out. There's not one power in the world that can you take you away from God, because guess what? You've been marked. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And you're going to see, you got his mark on your forehead. Can you see it? I can't. Doesn't matter whether I can see it. And I can see your heart. I can see what Jesus and the love of Jesus has done in your heart. And it comes out through your eyes. But God sees the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. And you're his forever and ever and ever and ever. And we, all the people said, amen. All right. Now listen to this, and I'm going to ask you a question, so listen carefully. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Where have you heard that before, and what's missing? Say it louder.
What Jesus said to the church.
That's right, and where did you see? Here. If anyone has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What's missing here?
Churches.
Oh, really? I wonder why.
We hope they're gone.
Thank you very much. They're just not there, are they? Oh, okay. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. What would captivity represent? That hot place. If anyone kills with a sword, with a sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the sea. All right, this is the second beast. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it. Is that us? No, these are the EDs. To worship the first beast. So here is the guy who is going to control the worship and other things. He's sort of second in control from this first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs and miracles so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. Where have we seen that happen? The two witnesses were given those powers, weren't they? And they could be Moses and Elijah, and Elijah could do just exactly that. Can everybody do that? No. And he, this second beast, deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of a sword and has come to life. That's a false resurrection, okay? What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to look like he's Jesus because he's going to have horns like a lamb, but he's going to speak like a dragon. We call that a hypocrite, or we call that an imposter, someone who is acting like something but has evil motives. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Remember that. In particular, when we get to Matthew 24, and you're going to do that in 2 weeks. This is an image to the beast, and where would it be set up if you're going to worship it?
In a temple.
And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Why do you think I just told you that you as a believer have a mark on you already? This is a mark of possession. Ponder that. And no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for that number is that of a man, and his number is 666. So that's the 666 mark of the beast. And everybody in the world has tried to say, oh, if you take Visa in the Greek thing, Visa is 666, or yeah, it is. But that isn't the mark of the beast. Would it be possible for any believer to take the mark of the beast? Tell me. No. That's why. Go read, I think it's Psalm 37:37. You're marked. You belong to the Lord. No way in the world you're going to take that mark. And this even tells you so. Let's watch as we go into chapter 13. Now, I have not gone through these charts, but if you take the points that I have given you, that's what you would have written on your charts. The numbers of these time things we're seeing down here, and we're putting them here. And you see why we're putting them while we are. The two witnesses in the first, and then the seventh trumpet blows, and the beast is over here. Indwelling and giving power of authority by the devil. And he is in this last part. And if you add time, times, and half a time here to... how long do you have?
7-year
period. And we're going to see that in another part of the Bible. So don't worry about not getting so many details right here. Believe me, we're going to take it subject by subject by subject and go through every last one of them. And that's going to be a trip. All right. Revelation chapter 14. Oh, one thing we didn't do. This thing, Gentiles, right here. The first two verses of chapter 11 that we parked right down here. The Gentiles are going to trod down the holy city for 42 months. Probably goes over in this part. Because remember, chapter 11 gives you also an overview all the way to the end in the last verses. Okay? All right. That is debatable. But is anybody going to lose sleep about that tonight? Please don't. I'm not going to. Okay. Verse 14. Chapter 14. Here's another vision. And I've done all my visions in yellow, and they're just vision after vision after vision. And then I looked, and behold, a lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. That's where you get it. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and the sound of loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. Is this going to be a woe? No. Why? Anytime you see harps, that's joyful music. All right? And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures. Where is this? It's in heaven. That's where the four living creatures are, too. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. All right? They're sealed in chapter 7. And by this time, what part of this week are we in? Part of this 7-year period are we in? Over here. Because it's after this. Okay? And remember that this could not start right here until the 144,000 were sealed in chapter 6. Seventh seal is not broken until the first part of chapter 8. No one could touch them until their ministry was complete. And here they are standing on Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion? It's in Jerusalem. And here they are, and they follow the Lamb. And they are purchased from the earth. How were they purchased? By the blood of Jesus, who redeemed them. And all of a sudden, miraculously there in chapter 7, these Jewish men knew Jesus as their Messiah. And they were saved, and they were tasked with being the witness through this period. And no one can touch them. And these are the ones, all right, now, remember in chapter 11 when we saw Jerusalem referred to as Sodom and Egypt. What is life like in Jerusalem and the world at that time? Bad. Big time bad. All right. There are some people that tell you that these fine Jewish men were not married. They didn't have any. That's not true. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. And if you have a faithful husband, guess what? He's chaste too. Because he doesn't run around. So these men have held to their witness of their life and their message according to the fruit of the Spirit because of Jesus who dwells in them. And they have been purchased from the earth as first fruits to God. From where? The nation of Israel, fulfilling another promise of God. Okay? We haven't gotten to that yet. But they are purchased from among men as the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And they are from the nation of Israel. And they are protected by God. And no lie was found in their mouth, and they were blameless. Libby, you're blameless. You know why? Because Jesus has paid the price of your sin. And he's taken it away. And he nailed it to the cross. And you can't be blamed for one thing that you have ever done. Because it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. And that's why you're Marcia. Blameless. Now, Marianne, I don't know about that. Dangerous to sit at this table. All right, and I saw another angel. Now we're going to run into a bunch of angels now, flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. I have a wooden folk art angel. She's wonderful, and she's flying away in like this, and she's got a little branch in her hand, and it's a Christmas angel. And so I thought, angels are not girls. I got to do something about this. So I typed this verse and I put it in her hand, and it's having the eternal gospel. Preach to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And then I put Revelation 14:6 on there. And the man who came to deliver and install my new washing machine right across the little place right there. If y'all have been in my house, you see how tight it is. And he looked up and he saw that and he didn't say a word. And then he dropped a hint. And he said, I knocked it down and I put it back up there, but here's the message. And I said, that's the message I'm teaching right now at Church of the... You're teaching Revelation? Yes, I am. I've always wanted to hear that book taught. And guess who's going to start listening to these lessons? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? I didn't do that. He just saw something in my house, and God brought it out, and now he's going to get to hear teaching. It thrills me to death. I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven. You see, with all this stuff going on the earth, God is never going to leave himself without a witness to all who will believe. And there's some that preach, during this time, no one will be saved. They hadn't read that verse. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, not Satan and this beast, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and earth and sea and springs of waters. The creator of this universe. Worship him. Not a created being, which is Satan and this beast were. Another angel, a second one, followed saying, now, what does this mean? Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Where does that happen? In 17 and 18, we know that, don't we? So this is an overview. All right? She who made all nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. And then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or in his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Can any believer ever take that mark? No. Why? Because you belong to Jesus, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. You can't take that mark.
You can't have two marks.
I happen to believe you won't be there, so there I've said it. And I'm sticking to it. Which is mixed in the full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Period. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They don't just die and go off into oblivion, live today, you know. I don't believe in any afterlife. Oh, I think they're in for a surprise. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. That's not believers. Here is the perseverance of the saints. Here's the contrast. And keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. Write to you who are going through this on this earth, and it is horrendous. You haven't even seen it yet. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. You're mine. And if you die, you come straight to heaven to me, and your reward is waiting for you. Even though you've lived through all this mess down there, you didn't catch any of it. I know what you've done in my name, and your deeds will follow you, and your reward is waiting for you in heaven. Is that not comforting? Can you imagine going through this, which I don't happen to think you will, and you saw what was going on and you thought, I'm forgotten. And you read this and you know you're not. And then I looked and behold a white cloud. Now this is exciting, because this is why I've taught this lesson basically the way I have. And I saw it and understood it for the first time in 37 years. That's pretty good, isn't it? You want to know what it is? How much is it worth to you? Okay. And then I get this picture now. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man. Now, who is the title of that?
Jesus.
It's a messianic title. Son of Man, having a golden crown, and this is a victory crown, on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Now here he is. I don't see him. Here. I got to draw him up here. Oh, this is going to be so much fun. Okay. Ah, here he is up on this cloud. And he's sitting here, and he's got a sickle in his hand, okay? There he is, and here's the cloud. All right. And another angel, and he comes in from over here, came out of where?
Temple.
The temple. Where's the temple here?
Heaven.
In heaven, okay? Here's this temple over here. And here's this throne right here, because who's... sitting on the mercy seat over here, you know the throne. Okay, who's sitting on here?
God
the who?
Father.
God the Father. And this angel comes out of this temple, and he comes up to this one sitting on the cloud. See, it helps to draw pictures, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Crying out in a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put your sickle in and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Why would anybody have to tell Jesus what to do?
He always obeys the Father.
This is the Holy Spirit working in concert with Jesus and God the Father. Isn't that exciting? I never understood that before. He always does the will. Who is directing the whole thing through him with the power of the Holy Spirit? And this is the last half of the tribulation period. And he said, he's not.
This says an angel came out.
I know, an angel did. But the power, you don't see the Holy Spirit.
No.
No. But the Trinity always works in concert.
Right.
Just like he did in creation, just like he does in salvation of you, Penny, it was the Holy Spirit that jerked the veil up and let you see the truth.
Right.
And you ran in as fast as you could, just like I did,
yeah,
before he dropped it. Okay. All right. Now, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. We go back to our timeline, been thrown down. He accuses them before God day and night, and they overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life, even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. The answer is coming from that fifth seal and the souls under the altar. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he is only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman and gave birth to the male child. That's why we put them in the second half over here.
Where are you?
I'm in, oh, that's 12. I picked up the wrong thing. Excuse me, I am so sorry. Okay, and he who sat on the, oh, back me up. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which was in heaven, and he had a sharp sickle. And this should remind you of a certain portion of Scripture in Matthew. All right, what is the last part of? Here it is. And another angel, the one, verse 18, who had the power over fire, came out from the altar. And that's that little golden altar. And here is the answer. And he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are wrath. Grapes are ripe. And so the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great wine press of the wrath of God. Does this remind you of anything? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is where the grapes of wrath are stored. He is trampled down the vineyard. His truth is marching on. That's where he came from. Isn't that exciting? I wish I just remembered words better than I do. And the wine press was trodden, now this is important, was trodden down outside the city, and the blood came out from the wine press up to the horse's bridle for a distance of 200 miles. And when you get to the Old Testament, you better remember that. That is exciting. The answer comes from that golden altar. And now, the big time judgment is coming, because
The devil has been thrown down in the middle of that thing here, 7-year period. He's given his power and authority and dominion and throne and all to this man. Beast number two, he's beast number one. Beast number two has come out. And he's causing everybody to worship this person, cause them to make an image to him, and gives it life so as to speak. And where does he stand? He's going to stand in the temple because he's going to claim to be God. That's what Satan did there in Jerusalem. And then he causes them all to take the mark of the beast, and nobody can buy or sell unless they have that mark. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. But remember that, because in 2 weeks you are going to see one verse and you're going to know exactly when it takes place during this time period. So it's important that you remember all of this. Now, somehow or other, I'm going to look at all this, and I hope I don't get lost again, but you are free to ask questions. And I'm going to close this in prayer. Wait just a minute. And then turn this off, because they're not going to be able to hear your questions. Okay? Father, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for letting us have so much fun with it, Lord, because it's discovery. And it's seeing you in control. It's seeing you be who you are. And that's the God of the universe, the Lord God Almighty. And Father, we have placed our faith and trust in you, and you have never disappointed. Thank you that you give us comfort. Thank you that you will lead us through these truths and help us to understand, Lord, to keep our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.